Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about replacement heroes, the times when some of our favorite heroes have been replaced by other people. You, of course, know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Ben Riley will pay.
And also with us is co-host from another podcast, TV's Mr. Neil.
Sort of me.
I'm not the one wearing hockey pants. Anyways,
Yeah.
let's start by going through the solicitations as we usually do. Okay, alternative comics, big feminists, but comics are about women. What? What the fuck is this?
Don't know. I'd probably be drawn more towards the second comic under that listing, which is Sugar Booger. It sounds more entertaining.
It's feminist propaganda bullshit. Okay, let's move on.
Oh, so Lewis would be reading that then.
Fuck Lewis. Anyways, let's move on to here.
Okay. Altus Press, I'd probably check out that Doc Savage soft cover. Because who doesn't love the Man of Bronze?
Not many. Actually, that looks interesting. Let's see here. Oh, here's something that you'll like, Neil. Betty and Veronica, Friends Double Digest.
Special friends.
Yes. Friends with Benefits?
We've all had that fantasy about Betty and Veronica, going their own way, leaving Archie behind.
I'm gonna be honest, it's more Cheryl Blossom and Betty, because Veronica's too.
Oh,
Come
I
on, man.
love Cheryl Blossom is secretly my favorite.
Not
Well,
that secret.
who doesn't love
Yeah.
a redhead? I mean, how do you else explain Archie's popularity all these years?
True.
Let's see here. So we got
A comic entitled God is Dead from Avatar Press. I'm shocked.
yes. Well, it shows several gods on it, but let's move on. We got some Big Dog Ink. Okay,
Big
let's see.
Finish.
Yeah.
Seriously, one of these days I'm going to start collecting those Doctor Who audio dramas.
Don't. You're gonna put all your money into it. It's gonna be like
Well,
Fabergé eggs.
I let
Tell
me
you what, I had
rephrase.
enough.
I will look into collecting some of the Paul McGann Doctor, the
Oh.
Eighth Doctor.
There's about 12 years of that.
So I'll
So
find the
looking at,
best of
ooh, here we
list.
go. Dark Horse Comics, Alley-Oop, The Complete Sundays, Volume 1. You remember Alley-Oop, don't you?
I know
Alley-Oop.
the song. I don't think I've ever read the comic strips.
Oh, you should.
I'll
Here we
put that on
go.
the list.
Got some Conan comics here, some Terminator.
The last issue of Grindhouse, which I'm little legit bummed to see that series go. They're basically doing the series of mini series, they say in the back, at end of that. It's just, if you like schlock horror movies and such, like with, admittedly a Grindhouse vibe, this last one is a bunch of girls at a summer hockey camp have to deal with a demon from hell who is looking to use their virgin blood to open the rusted locks that hold the de that holds the devil back. Could be fun.
Could be.
Yeah. I would like to pick up, because I've collected some of their Dark Horse reprints of the old like Gold Key comics. Like, they got the Magnus Robot Fighter Volume 3 there. I got the first two volumes of Doctor Solar so far, and I never really knew this stuff existed until like the last few years, and some really decent stuff from back in the day.
Oh, yes. So
Well,
we are skipping some DC comics here. Moving on.
you don't see me arguing.
There's some Dynamite Entertainment with Red Sonja.
All right.
All right, all right, all right. Although,
Dynamite.
and it's like, oh, Chaos number one, the Chaos Heroes are back. Yay! I don't care.
Red
Let,
Sonja.
let, well, yeah, let's just say this about Chaos. It's not that it's like the grim fairy tales from Zetascope. I can't honestly buy anyone saying they read these comics for the story.
No.
Yeah. Although I would have to get that Flash Gordon number one variant, just because the first copies sold out at my local store, and looking to check that series out because I really like the King's Watch miniseries that this is spun out of.
Defenders of the Earth.
They
Defenders.
actually reference that in the show, in the comic.
They do.
Yeah, it's
Yes.
like the Cobra who's like this old Mandrake villain's working for Ming, the Merciless. And he's like, tell me more about these defenders of the Earth, Cobra. And I was just like, yes, he said it.
Defenders. See, Defenders of the Earth is one of the times where the actual Kitty Eyes name sounds cooler than the book title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is rare because most of the times the cartoon name sounds lame compared to the comic book name.
Yeah. Just like, you know, Justice League, Super Friends.
Yeah. But Defenders of the Earth, King's Watch.
Yeah. And honestly, like, when I picked that first issue up, I thought that's what they're going to call their little group, and it's not even that. You know, which they don't even come up with a name. It's just, okay. And that's one of the better things about it. It's like they don't even care about recognition. So it made it for a very decent read, but what else? Oh, Two Rocks Back? I didn't even know that.
Wasn't that a game?
It was, but it was a comic first. I think it was actually
joking,
acquired.
I know.
It was acquired by Acclaim for a while. I know that.
Well, no, didn't like Valiant Comics like morph into Acclaim Entertainment, and that's when they did, the Two Rock game and all those new comics and Ninjak was basically He-Man, but there was a video game involved.
Moving on.
Yes, please.
Moving on, we got some IDW with some Powerpuff Girls, some TMNT, Classic Adventures by Eastman and Laird.
Cover by Eastman and Laird, anyway.
Yes. Color Classics. This is Classics colored.
Oh.
The original run was black and white.
Ah, okay.
Which I kind of prefer the black and white. It's just the color is cool and all, but it just kind of takes away a little bit.
It's sort of like Ted Turner came in and ruined the classic.
And how do we know he's not behind this now? just yell into the IDW offices. Do you just yell wrestling? And you'll hear somebody from the back of the room wrestling.
Well, I remember when I ran WCW.
Captain Planet.
Protect the planet or I'll fucking kill you. Although, that's still funnier than the Don Cheadle video.
Is that a zip line? Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Let's see, we move on to
Image Comics.
Image Madame Frankenstein. I might have to check that one out.
Cyberforce number 9.
You're still publishing that? I thought that got canceled a while ago.
Oh, funny thing is Neil corrected me about Femforce and AC Comics because turns out Neil.
Yes, I'm running a comic on my website right now that has a character from Femforce in it.
Ooh.
Because I actually had to contact the guy from AC Comics. I'm like, I have a comic here, but it's got your character in it. And fortunately, he said yes. So,
well, that was awkward.
If he had mentioned the word royalty, I would have been like, fuck, I'm not publishing this. But fortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, of course not. He just expects that automatically, Neil.
He's not getting a dime.
Okay. Moving on. Let's see here. Some more Walking Dead, which just sucks now. Let's see here. We got Marvel Comics here. Got
Annihilation Omnibus.
Yeah.
I would spend that much money on that if I had that money, which I don't.
So we have Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, which reveals Peter Parker is alive.
Oh boy. You know, here's my thing about Miles Morales is that it's a good character, but they kind of did this thing where they treated Peter Parker as disposable. And then most of his adventures are about Peter Parker's world anyway. So it's like, this character can't get a break. And now, of course, Spider-Man is back. Or I should say Peter Parker is back.
The
so
real
Spider-Man's like,
back.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
now, is it really him, or is this another clone, is my question.
Well, let me put it this way. My friend Red made a very good point that this might have been a BMB whammy planned from the start. Because if you remember, there was a video game many years back.
Yeah, I own
Spider-Man.
It. PS2.
And when the game first came out, Bendis said that no, this is canon with the comics. Mm-hmm. But then people started noticing things like, you know, midway through the game, Peter Parker, finger quotes, Peter Parker wakes up in a lab with no segue of how he got there. So does this mean that this Peter Parker...
Don't say Ben Reilly.
No, that, Ben Reilly was a black man in the Ultimate Comics.
Yes, but this Peter Parker that we see, that you play through the rest of the game as, that's also now the main character of the comics from that point on, could that have been a clone? And once people started asking Bendis this, because Bendis is like, oh shit, people figured this out too soon, they started saying, no, it's not continuity, that's not continuity.
He should have just kept his mouth shut. And just let people speculate, because that's, as long as you do not confirm or deny, then it'll always be up in the air.
This is true.
There you go, JT. That's what I know.
There's certain things I wish not to know.
Okay, so moving on, we have Marvel Man after that. I know it says Miracle Man, but the comic's actually Marvel Man. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Original Sin, where... I haven't read up too much of this. Apparently somebody whacks the Watcher, and now it's like this murder mystery, and it's... I do like that idea, but the other draw in this is they're using the white Nick Fury. Apparently he's not dead, or he's come out of retirement. Or
one of the best lines in Spider-Man, the one where the 616 Peter Parker interacts with the Ultimate Miles Morales, is when they're sitting in a car and they're talking, and they say, do you have Nick Fury there too? And classic Peter Parker says, yes. What can you tell me about him? He's white. And then Black Nick Fury says, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
I've had it with these mother effing Spider-Men on this mother effing base.
So, not much else you can really say about Marvel right now. I mean, it's...
Well, they made Bruce Banner brain dead in the Incredible Hulk series.
Yes, I saw that. And the She-Hulk series, I would enjoy a whole lot more if the artist was different.
If the artist was someone else.
I know what the artist is going for. It is a very classic, almost Kirby-esque style interior, you know, inside the book. But at the same time, it just doesn't work for me.
I could see that.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because I'm always biased about the way characters like She-Hulk should be drawn.
I'm just saying that She-Hulk... okay, moving on.
She's a giant babe, that's what
that's yes, what it is. Exactly. That's all you need to know. Okay, moving on. Let's see here. We got some Pokemons with the Pokies and the Mons. And we got some...
Excuse me, Frazzle.
Episode 3! Ask the Neil for the reference.
Oh, that's a layered reference. I'll explain it after the show.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty much all we can talk about with the solicitations this week, unless you want to talk about WWE number 4.
Actually, I read, like, the first two issues on a whim, and I'm just like,
by Mick Foley.
Very meh. Don't get me wrong, I love Mankind, but, you know, Cactus Jack, you know,
Let me read the plot synopsis for WWE number 4, written by Mick Foley.
Please do.
Last ride. The stage is set for an all-out battle royale in the streets of Titan City as CM Punk rallies the people to the streets. Randy Orton attempts one last desperate move to win the support of the citizenry, and John Cena is on the verge of uncovering who framed him and stole the $10 million. One may prove to be the difference maker. The Undertaker. Whoever wins the dead man to their side wins the hearts and soul of Titan City.
You know, I would rather read Rival Angels, where it's just a straight up webcomic about the drama that is the wrestling world, which is basically centered completely around the wrestling ring. Has there ever been a good, aside from what I just mentioned, has there ever been a good wrestling comic ever?
I'd say the closest they come was the old Marvel WCW title.
Okay.
But just tell me what you think of that synopsis there.
That I don't even know what to say.
It sounds like an episode of it, doesn't it now?
Yeah, but they made it into more cartoony. It's like not even about the wrestling. It's like they live in a place called Titan City, which, by the way, very clever. Named it after Titan Sports, the original parent company.
I mean, the first issue, which I did read, yeah. John Cena is a disgraced former cop framed for a crime he didn't commit.
What?
Seriously, that he's in jail and he's released by Triple H so he can find this $10 million that Cena reportedly stole. Zeb Coulter, Cesaro, and Jack Swagger are all guards in the prison. And they, while they're walking out, they walk him through the prison gym, which just happens to have a wrestling ring. And
I imagine there's going to be lots of just happens to have a wrestling ring in this scene. Yeah.
And when you get outside, there's stuff like Gold Dust and Hornswoggle are crime bosses. Randy Orton is the district attorney and his assistant is AJ, and Randy Orton's secretly a crime boss. Undertaker is like this tattoo artist. CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, and Daniel Bryan are all like these kind of urban vigilantes. And the Wyatt family are these crazies that live out in the sticks.
See, if I was writing this, the way Cena would get out of jail is he would just wave his hand in front of his face so that you know, people can't see him. You know, because apparently
you give him a superpower then.
Yeah. He's like, you can't see me. Wave, wave, wave. He disappears.
Where'd he go?
And then special cameo by the Big Boss Man. See, that's what this comic needs. It needs some of the career wrestlers back from back in the 90s. Like, you know, you got the Repo Man and Duke the Dumpster Drossy.
Oh, Doink the Clown.
Yes. Especially Doink the Clown.
Because who doesn't love Doink the Clown?
Oh, come on. You need the Dudley Boys to show up.
I'm just waiting for...
Dudley Boys?
They're signed to a different promotion at the moment, so they couldn't get them.
And they're not the Dudleys anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, because Vince McMahon trademarked that, so they had to become Team 3D.
Yeah, which... now it's... D-Von's not even wrestling... I think he's working in the back of Impact Wrestling, and it's Bully Ray.
That sucks. I mean, I loved it because it's a black guy and a white guy pretending that they're brothers.
That was great.
Yeah, the only thing they have similar is they're wearing the same taped-up glasses.
Yeah. And I think they actually explained that, which I think they never should have done that. They should have just let people figure it out on their own. It's kind of like the kid from the second Jurassic Park movie. It's like... You never needed to explain why she was a different race. It's within like 5 seconds you can put it together.
Or say she's in the gymnastics team and she kills a velociraptor with gymnastics.
Did it actually die or did it just get knocked out?
It got a freaking spear in its side.
That's right. It landed on some sort of pointy object and it basically got impaled.
Yes.
What I want to ask you guys is what's a less likely scenario? This girl who's the spawn of Ian Malcolm killing a raptor with gymnastics, or Dr. Grant using a vocal chamber from a 3D printer and successfully communicating with raptors?
I'll take the Lost World over that. Especially since in the third movie, not only was he communicating with them, but he knew specific calls. They're like, no, you got to call for help. And I'm like, fuck this movie. I'm glad it was only 90 minutes because I couldn't have taken it any longer than that.
And that's surprisingly the one where Spielberg short film. Came back.
What?
That's the one where Spielberg came back.
No, he did the first two and he handed the third one off to someone else.
Oh, okay. I always
he might have had like a producer's credit on that or something.
Yeah.
Oh, and before we're done with the list here, I want to say. In the new issue of Archer and Armstrong from Valiant Entertainment, they check into a hotel where Hotel California by the Eagles is playing over the sound system. And all you see are the lyrics of you can check in anytime, you can never leave. And you find they get ended trapped in a maze where they find leather suited Elvis, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, basically all these celebrities that are died like by their own hand are actually alive and living in here, and it's all controlled by a really old Jim Morrison, whose sigil on the wall is a gecko with a crown over top of it, because he is the Lizard King.
Okay.
I want to see where this goes. I want to see where this goes.
See, I like the Venture Brothers explanation where Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper became supervillains.
Oh, and David Bowie's a shape changer, and he runs the League of the Calamitous Intent.
Yes, but you do know about Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper, right?
In the show, yeah.
That was one of the things that took me a couple times to get. It's like I love the Big Bopper where he says. Where Buddy Holly says, "You weren't a musician, you just spoke." And he's like, "I was," and he says, "I was inventing hip hop." Anyways, let's move on to saying that this has been the solicitations. Let's take a brief break, and when we'll come back, we'll have the topic of the show.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at Decian.com. Decian.com.
And now, back to the show.
And we are back to talk about replacement heroes. Basically, these are moments when our favorite heroes have someone else wearing their costumes, running around, doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when Thor was not Thor. Some other guy was Thor. Some guy named Derek something. He had a beard.
Masterson.
Yeah, Eric Masterson, and he was kind of a jerk, honestly.
Well, isn't that where Thor grew out the beard and he had the faceplate on his helmet? And
yes.
And they jacked up his armor so no one would think that he wasn't Thor.
Yes.
Oh, and they brought back the lame man with a stick gag.
Yes, they did. So Eric Masterson was Thor for a while, and he kind of sucked at it. Because he was, like, always so angry and stuff, you know?
And then the 90s happened.
And so Thor got his powers back, and Eric Masterson was no longer Thor. But seeing as Odin likes to, like, practically give away powers... I was like, you know what, Eric Masterson, you were kind of a douche, but you know what? You're all right. Here's a stick. You're now Thunderstruck.
Cue the music.
Yeah. No, that was really his title, Thunderstruck.
Thunderstrike.
Mine's better.
Yeah. Yes, we'll refer to it from here on out as which Ben wishes to call it, because God forbid...
Well, it wasn't even like a hammer, or it was like a stick with like a little piece of a rock at the end of it. What the fuck was up with
it
that?
They referred to the and it's called Thunderstrike the Mace, which is where he gets his name from. It was referred to as a mace, which is like this three-sided, half a Mjolnir sort of weapon. And
he ran around with a leather jacket over top of his Asgardian gear.
A vest. because it was the 90s, which is around the same time that the rest of the Avengers started wearing leather vests or jackets with the, you know, the big red and white A symbol on the side.
But this was the only other time that Thor had a replacement. I mean, I am on a horse.
And what can be said about Beta Ray Bill that hasn't already been said?
Well, you know, of course, and there's nothing like a talking horse.
Sorry, you say that and the first thing that pops into my head is Beta Ray Bill flying into battle with Stormbreaker, his axe hammer, and him yelling, Wilbur!
Yes.
And then Scrooge McDuck shows up.
Because why not?
Because that's the same guy.
Oh, I always forget that.
Yes. And he's still alive. Although, of course, the last time we did that on Animation Aficionados, the guy probably died. That was, what's his name, the animator?
I know it wasn't Baxi because I would have.
No, yeah, it was the stop motion guy. God damn, I can never remember people's names when I think of them.
Was it the Sledgehammer guy?
No, it was the guy who did Mighty Joe Young.
Oh.
See, now you know who I'm talking about too, and you can't remember his name.
Yes.
Why does this happen?
The curse.
Yes. Oh well, moving on.
Well, Beta Ray Bill was this horse humanoid guy who stole Mjolnir, and yes, and got Thor's costume and powers briefly, and then he's like, you know what? And then, you know, Odin again goes, you know what? You totally beat up my son, stole his hammer, but you know what? I like your moxie,
the cut of your jib.
So here's a axe hammer just for you.
Here's a consolation.
And from space janitor to warrior hero, that's quite a promotion.
Yes.
Although I did like when they used Beta Ray Bill in one episode of Earth's Mightiest Heroes, they got Steve Bloom to, you know, Spike Spiegel himself to do the voice, which I thought was kind of badass. But if one replacement hero that I liked for the character, not necessarily the storyline that introduced him, was Ben Reilly during the Clone Saga. Now, hang with me here for a second. Up until the part from where Ben Reilly, they retconned this later, you know, it was revealed that Ben Reilly is really Spider-Man and he's been wandering America, you know, for all these like 5 years since the original Clone Saga that took place in the 70s when the comics came out, you know, and Peter and Mary Jane moved to like Portland to prepare to raise their baby. And a lot of the stories that came out during the time that Ben Reilly was Spider-Man were, some of them are pretty decent. I mean, they're not all gold. I mean, this is around the time Hobgoblin came back, but it was the 90s, so he had all this cyber tech gear built into him. And Dr. Octopus was dead, so they brought out the daughter of Ben Reilly's mentor, went crazy and became the new female Dr. Octopus. But besides all that crap, some of the adventures, it just brought a lot of fun back to Spider-Man during these days. And the Ben Reilly Spider-Man costume is one of the few costume redesigns in the 90s that I would have preferred they held on to. You know, web shooters on the outside and all notwithstanding. It was a decent suit.
And then the spider over the whole costume.
Yeah, it's just basically an expanded version of the classic red and blue. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I mean, I thought it was pretty good. It's not like Captain America wearing Power Ranger armor because the super soldier serum is killing him. You know, that's or Superman spontaneously developing electro superpowers, or Batman breaking his back and letting an assassin take over who is nuts to begin with.
Jean-Paul Valley.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, trust a Frenchman to be the Batman.
Right.
True. But I mean, I liked a lot of the stories with Ben Reilly that happened. I mean, like, yeah, they open up, and it's for the first time in years, they actually like came up with like a whole new supporting cast. Like occasionally Robbie Robertson and J. Jonah Jameson would show up, but more often than not, it's Ben working at a coffee shop. You got like this guy Buzz, who's like this aging hippie who's sitting there bitching about the modern world. And there's the mom and her son who run the place. There's this blonde model businesswoman, I remember, who he ended up dating a little bit. And then he ended up making time with this photojournalist who turned out to be the daughter of the robber that shot and killed Uncle Ben. Now, I will admit, looking back now, that's pretty, it's cliched, but it was a cool, I thought that was kind of a cool twist to the story. Now he's involved with this person who's actively trying to find who Spider-Man is, and, you know, she basically wants revenge for what happened. And I think at some point she actually did find out, and she realized, you know, it was wanting revenge all these years was like a waste of her time and all that. I loved the stories back then. I mean, then they have the reveal that Norman Osborn has Wolverine level healing abilities because of the Goblin Serum. So make of that what you will. Chest,
you know, just sleep that off.
Yeah. And I mean, he woke up in the morgue and escaped to Europe and built some, you know, criminal cabal cult like cartel thing over there. And then he comes back and steals their baby, like Spider-Man and Mary Jane's baby, or did he? And they've still never actually answered that question. Comics, everybody.
Mm. They never will. But no.
Going back to Thor for a second, there was one replacement Thor that only lasted for like part of an issue. And I don't know if this even counts or is canon at all, but one of them was actually Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that was in the Amalgam, yes.
Yes, but even before that, before they went to Amalgam, there was part of the issue where she found Thor's hammer because it got knocked out of his hand during a fight or something, and she found it, and she became like Thor Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And it's pretty Wonder snazzy Thor. Costume.
Yeah, and then she realized the power she now had, and she's like, screw that noise, I'll make do with what I have. So
yeah, she was scheduled to fight Storm, and she's like, I could easily take Storm if I had this hammer, but that's not fair, and she threw it away. And then she lost.
Well, honestly, she could have easily taken Storm without the hammer.
Yeah.
They just did something really stupid.
Yeah. Nowadays, I think if people voted on that again, I don't think Storm would have overtaken Wonder Woman at all.
No.
What do you got for replacement heroes, Ben?
Well, like I said, is it's really funny that anytime someone steals Thor's hammer, everyone's like, you know what? I like the cut of your gem. Here's a thing that gives you Thor powers.
Yeah, they sure do. They must stockpile that Uru metal that makes up these hammers.
Yes.
You know.
But there's so many others. It's I mean, technically, Rhodey was a replacement Iron Man before he was ever the War Machine.
Even though that's what he tooled around in at the time, as I recall.
Yes.
And then they had that. I remember reading one Iron Man back in the day where it was they soaked the story in, you know, black cultures, like where he's dating this was it Ray Lacoste, who's like, used to date Tony. She ran like the salon, and he makes this line where, you know, they've been intimate, and he's bitching about the Stark board, and he points himself, you know what, this complexion doesn't come from copper tone. And I was like, well, no, you're a black man. Like, they had stupid lines like that, but I mean, he basically ran around the entire time he was Iron Man. He just ran around in the War Machine armor, right? Like, he never wore any of the other suits.
No, he wore the gold, gold and red.
Oh, yeah, the early days. I was thinking, like, the 90s where Tony faked his death for, like, the third time.
No, I mean the one when Tony retired from being Iron Man and that Rhodey, you know, around the time when the
Secret Wars.
Well, Obadiah Stane orchestrated the those events, remember?
Yeah. No, I remember that. It's just I thought you were talking about the 90s there where I haven't read a lot of the early 80s Iron Man like that. I kind of started like late 80s, early 90s, around the time, you know, Tony can't walk because he's got some parasitic nervous system virus, and he faked his death and he's in cryogenic suspension while this is happening. You know, Rhodey takes over as head of Stark Enterprises, and he just tools around in the War Machine armor. And, of course, fights the West Coast Avengers, because, well, what's this, another new Iron Man? Jeez. And then he got, like, later on, after, during the War Machine series, he got, like, this alien War Machine armor, something that didn't look anything like an Iron Man would. And now he's the Iron Patriot, I think, in current Marvel continuity.
Yeah. But there are other favorite replacements, or there's other unfavorite replacements. I mean, the replacement hero's been done. It's not a 90s thing. It's not a 90s thing, I should say. A good example of this was in the 80s. In the early 80s, no less. There was a time when Captain America was replaced.
Oh. By the, was it the Super Patriot or...
U.S. Agent. What's his name? Yeah. Walker.
But he was like the Super Patriot first, and then he was hired by like some shadowy cabal to take over as Captain America. And didn't he have a black Bucky, right?
He did. He did, and Captain America became just the Captain.
Because what's his name? Somebody else was using Nomad at the time.
When no man lives, terror dies.
Oh, that's Solo.
That's right.
And I want to say not Daredevil.
Yeah, Iron Fist was Daredevil for a while.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I forgot that. But yeah, like, and that was like at the height of the whole, FBI guy leaks that Matt Murdock is Daredevil, and it starts the whole, I'm not Daredevil, I'm blind. Hey, look, there's Daredevil right there, and any given time, is it Spider-Man or Iron Fist? And I think Echo, the mute assassin lady that Bendis created in his title, was Daredevil once or twice.
Yeah. Well, the one I remember is actually Iron Fist was Daredevil for a prolonged period around then.
Yeah. It was kind of to keep up appearances. Like, Matt Murdock still went. He still ran around as Daredevil, but I don't remember them ever being two Daredevils at the same time in the same fights, sort of thing.
Well, the funny thing is Ghost Rider is quite upset about Daredevil. Because he thinks he should be Daredevil. Because he was a stunt motorcycle rider, you know? If anyone should be Daredevil, it should be him.
Yes.
Now, can you say the succession of characters that have become Robin?
That would you call count.
That's? I was just checking. You know.
Now, what about the replacement Superman during the Death of Superman saga?
I think that counts.
Because he's not Superboy. Don't call him that.
Con-El. I love Con-El.
Well, who doesn't?
Geoff Johns.
Yeah. Well.
I kind of miss that design.
The leather jacket over the suit?
Yeah, somehow it's one of those designs that felt more cliche at the time it was out than it does now. Now I look back on it, it's like, you know, that actually was a pretty cool costume.
It is.
Yeah. I personally, like, at least...
At least it's not like a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, that's like, you're just running around with your logo on your t-shirt. That's not a costume.
Basically. Yeah. No, see, when it came to around that time, like when I seriously started taking a look at art and everything, I loved the design of the cyborg Superman when Dan Jurgens was doing the art.
Oh, yes.
Because, at least for me, Dan Jurgens is kind of like Mark Bagley, who I love both arts. It's just they get it. You know, they get that superheroes are supposed to look so they're kind of muscular, maybe not ridiculously so, but... They just kind of, there's an element of fun in their artwork.
Yes.
And that first, the first issue of, like, the first appearance of the cyborg Superman where, you know, he's flying around town. He, like, rips the grate or the plaque off the ground in front of the Daily Planet and, you know, disintegrates it with his heat beam. And then he breaks into the Cadmus Project and steals... You know, the body of Doomsday and lashes it to a meteorite. And
actually, I gotta bring this up because this brings up one of my favorite Jack Kirby characters ever in this scene.
What's
you
that?
You should know this one. JT, you should know this one. The Golden Guardian.
Oh, God. Because technically he's a hero who replaced himself.
Well, Jim Harper is awesome, and here's this guy whose only experience, technically, is being a beat cop back in the 40s. So it's like, okay, he was a beat cop back in the 40s. That's his whole fighting experience, superhero experience. And other than that, he's just a regular guy with a golden shield. And here he is shouting, demanding Cyborg Superman to come back here and face him like a man.
Yeah, and this is, you got to keep in mind that while this is the original Golden Guardian, it's, again, like I said, he's kind of a replacement hero because the Newsboy Legion that he palled around with back in the day
grew up and became scientists,
genetic scientists, and they do the classic, oh yeah, we're just going to grow your body in like 3 days and download your mind into it, no big.
Yeah,
which, but yeah, this, I remember that him, like, it's like, dude, first of all, even if that was the original Superman, you would look like an idiot yelling him to, come on, fight me.
But the thing is, I love that about Jim Harper, because he never backs down. I mean, in the Superboy title, when the Golden Guardian's around, and there was actually a brief time where he teamed up with a reformed Heatwave.
Yeah, because Heatwave was working at the Cadmus Project on the security.
Yeah, and they were like partners. It was like a buddy cop kind of thing, because he was a reformed villain, and Harper doesn't trust him because he used to be a cop, and it's like, and they fought this genetically altered Fireclaw powered Jack the Ripper clone together, and it was actually quite hilariously awesome because both of them have no powers and Jim Harper, I mean, when he walks, they probably clank.
That spark shoot out of his ass.
Lightning. But I'm sorry to interrupt. I just had to segue back to, you know, one of my other favorite characters, Jim Harper, the Golden Guardian. Just love seeing him around.
Well, I mean, then you got, like, you know, Man of Steel and the Last Son of Krypton.
Everyone thought that the Eradicator was the true Superman.
Right.
Well, half of them thought he was the true Superman. The other half thought Cyborg Superman, because I remember that first issue where he shows up, Dr. Hamilton's like, well, all the robotic parts are where he suffered the most damage, so I mean, it was a 50-50 shot at best. But yeah, no, I think, like Neil said, like, my favorite Superboy, like, after Cyborg Superman, Superboy is my favorite, but I love Steel, because I was, like, way into Iron Man at that point, and the idea, it's just this ordinary guy with a jacked up suit of armor,
and he's, you know, also the only one saying, I never said I was Superman.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there was one, I forget the artist's name, that was doing, like, the Man of Steel comic at the time. And the issue where Steel debuts and he flashes back to where Superman saved his life, and you see, like, this blue bolt of energy pass between him. And then I remember my friends arguing, he's like, oh, he's got Superman's soul in him, that's why he's Steel now. And I was like, fuck you. Like, what, the black? I literally said, I remember saying this as a kid, like, what, a black man can't be a superhero? And keep in mind, this is all white boys having this discussion, which just kind of makes it ridiculous. And my friend's like, but he's got Superman's soul, that's why he's got powers. It's like, he wears a suit of armor. He flies with rocket boots. He doesn't have powers, aside from the fact that he's kind of badass. And unfortunately, we played by one of the most overrated NBA stars in history.
I was going to say, you know what ruined Steel for me? Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, that's like, have you ever guys seen those videos, I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. The 100th video that the guy did in this series, he basically wrote a song about movie continuity. And at one point in the song, we won't mention Howard the Duck and we won't mention Steel. And to this day, no one talks about that movie. Because it was bad.
It was really bad.
I mean, not even the awesome of the awesomeness of the original Shaft and Hot Rod could elevate that movie.
That was a travesty.
You know what? Steel makes Blank Man look like a work of art.
No. I say what you will about Blank Man, but I still love that movie.
So you don't think Blank Man's a work of art compared to Steel?
I don't think it's a work of art, but I enjoy it more.
Neil, have you ever seen Blank Man?
I don't think so.
It's a weigh-in movie.
Oh, I remember that now.
Yeah.
I remember.
Where Damon Wayans is almost playing a big screen version of Handyman from In Living Color, but not quite. He didn't go full retard.
What was his catchphrase? It was like, "Sean Drake Rebel!
Let's get busy!" Yeah. And, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Kyle Rayner.
He doesn't count.
He was a replacement hero.
I think the thing with Kyle is that he was intended to stick around for a while. Plus, the Green Lantern Corps
was gone.
You know, yeah. Well, where I was going to go was that there can always be multiple Green Lanterns. It's like no one is really officially the Green Lantern.
And technically, he was officially the Green Lantern for like 10 years.
Yeah.
There was no other Green Lanterns. He tried to revive the Corps several times. It just didn't stick.
Yeah, there was no attempt on DC's part in the immediate future to bring back Hal Jordan.
So if not Kyle Rayner, what about Connor Hawk?
Connor was meant to stick around as well.
But he didn't stick around more than like 2 years, so.
I know, but no, that one issue where he has to defend the Watchtower and all he has is his dad's bag of trick arrows, and Connor Hawk's like this purebred archer where he just uses regular arrows. And he's like, what the fuck are these things?
Yeah.
He's like, boxing glove, what is this? It's like, remember? Handcuff arrow, boomerang arrow. What's a boomerang arrow? How does this work?
Did he borrow the quiver of Kid Icarus?
No, of his father, Oliver Queen.
Ben just missed a Captain N joke.
I know.
No, there was that. I'm trying to think of else, because DC, it's not necessarily replacement. Like, they're always created like they're going to stick around for a while, and then they end up having maybe 14 issue run and they're done.
But there's other replacements. There was a time when Wonder Woman was replaced by a redhead named Artemis.
Oh yes.
And when she was wearing Wonder Woman went on to wear like the half a jean jacket and booty shorts, and
yes.
Artemis was basically, what if the Punisher was a female redhead with Wonder Woman's powers?
Yes. So Artemis was Wonder Woman for a while.
Yeah.
True.
Didn't look too bad.
And then she became a supporting character.
And then Wonder Woman's mom took over. And then she went back in time and served with the Justice Society.
Yep. And had a fling with Wildcat. So lots of adventures to be had. Mm-hmm. So there was also, that's the other replacements.
I don't know a lot about Wonder Woman's continuity, but what was Donna Troy? Was she another replacement? Or no,
let me explain this.
She was like a mystical clone or something.
No. Let me explain this. There's a perfect image that explains this.
I'd like to see almost any Hawkman before the aughts. You could almost make an argument for that because of how many different versions of Hawkman there were that never seemed to stick around for that long.
Well, technically, the writer at the time said Zariel was supposed to be the replacement Hawkman.
The angel, yeah.
Yes.
He was a stand-in.
Yes. That kind of sort of messes with your brain for a while, doesn't it? Because the only criteria is, does he have wings? Yes, he's Hawkman.
Well, they already said no one Robbins. See, I just can't think of anybody it's not so much. I can think of a lot of DC characters. They aren't necessarily replacement heroes, but they're like they're not quite legacy characters. I mean, they're like in 90s they had this whole glut of like reimaginings of classic DC heroes. Like there was, you know, the original Firebrand, you know, this guy who had like pyrokinetic powers back in the 30s and 40s, and his cousin took over the female Firebrand for a while. And they had this guy in the 90s who was like, he basically falls backwards into like this suit of armor that he has like a flaming skull head or something like that for a while.
Yes.
And there's so many others. There was the Manhunter that came out of Zero Hour, which thank God that was dealt with. That is a nice Wonder Woman image.
Yep.
That was swiftly and quickly with much justice.
You could, yeah. That ass could use some justice, said Batman. There was, well, I mean, Donna Troy did cover for a while for Wonder Woman, which basically is the Wonder Woman series that spun out of the 1 year later jump that DC did after Infinite Crisis was over, where, you know, Diana had killed Max Lord by snapping his neck, and she'd basically gone into hiding because no one trusted her anymore, and she was working for Sarge Steele at the DEO.
Yeah, but you asked about Donna Troy, Neil.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I remember this one. Oh, this is good. It's like, this thing reads like a choose-your-own-adventure book. Yeah, pretty much.
See, I just had to bring her up because there is that rare costume where it's like the Wonder Woman costume, but it's got the Starfield pattern of the black Donna Troy costume. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
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 Always make an excuse to bring that picture up.
Now,
what happened with Donna Troy is this, and this is a convoluted explanation born out of the fact that there were multiple books by multiple people in the Silver Age, and our authors did not always talk with each other. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, there were lots of books, you know, Superboy, stories about Superman when he was a boy, right?
Right.
And then there was story. What happened was there were a couple stories about Wonder Woman like that. You know, Wonder Girl. Stories about Wonder Woman when she was a girl. And what happened was they somehow they accidentally had Wonder Girl show up as a colleague of the other teen superheroes at the time. Like Robin and Kid Flash.
Speedy. Okay.
Yeah, and they were like, and because someone just saw the Wonder Girl costume, and you'd be like, that's different enough from Wonder Woman that this has to be a completely different character. And then what happened was, I think it was actually Julie Schwartz said, what the fuck did you guys just do? Quick, we need to write a book to explain this. So they wrote this book. About how when Wonder Woman Diana was a young child, there was this magic mirror that made her a playmate, which was a duplicate of herself. And this duplicate of herself was then sealed away from time and space and forgotten about for like a couple of decades, and then was released, and that's Wonder Girl.
I see.
And that's the Cliff Notes version.
See, this is why I kind of scoffed at Fess when he was kind of quizzing us about continuity with the crossover lord, because I'm like, someone's gonna screw up anyway, so the readers kind of make up their own continuity.
Yes.
And he didn't like that answer.
But that is the closest condensed version of why there is a Donna Troy, why there was a Wonder Girl, and how it all happened. There's a lot more to it. I don't have 3 hours to do a lecture, so
suffice to say, somebody done goofed.
Mm-hmm.
But they were able to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now if you look at... Sorry, you go, Ben.
I mean, how would you fix that kind of goof, Neil?
How I just explained it. I'm like, you create your own continuity.
I know, but it's like, now Wonder Girl's running around with the other teen superheroes. But wait, how are you going to fix this? How would you fix it? I think the fix they did was pretty ingenious.
I guess so, but I'm just kind of like, whatever, you know, it's like the Star Wars continuity. It's like people are kind of pissed off because the expanded universe is decanonized. I'm like, it's not decanonized if you don't want it to. Just make up your own continuity. I don't care.
It's not like George Lucas personally went into your house and burned copies of your General Thrawn books.
Yeah.
Admiral Thrawn, pardon me.
Yeah, if you want Shadows of the Empire to still be in there, go for it.
Dash Rendar.
Yeah. Even though it adds nothing to the series.
Dash Rendar, the poor man's Han Solo.
Yeah. Now, again, it might be more of a legacy character, but you look at the succession of guys who have been the Hobgoblin in Spider-Man.
Are you going to bring up poor Ned?
Just did.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying, it's like you take the character of Hobgoblin, who many, many years after his debut was revealed to originally be Roderick Kingsley. It's like this fashion magnate who had, you know, a somewhat more practical plan for taking over the world, and he made sure that the goblin juice wasn't going to drive him batshit insane before he used it. But I mean, it was Roderick Kingsley, and then Ned Leeds, Jason McIndale, who I don't think he was actually turned. He was turned into like a demonic hobgoblin for a while at the same time there was an actual demo goblin flying around, which makes about as much sense as it sounds. And then they brought Roderick Kingsley back, and then it was Phil Urich. It was Ben Urich's nephew. Because none of these guys, like, a few years they would run, and that's about it. But, I mean, that's like one Marvel villain. Not a whole lot else can be said other than the fact that this just everyone thought this was a really cool costume.
Sort of like the mask, you know, you pick it up and like, hey, someone left this mask or lying around. I think I'm going to be a supervillain now.
And what do you think, Neil?
I don't know.
I mean, again, you're right with Kyle Rayner. It's just that they're around for a little while, not, you know, years, and they're gone. I mean, trying to think of who else you could say, like, I want to say Spawn, but I mean, it's an entirely new character and almost entirely different story that they're doing in the comics now. Because, you know, Al Simmons isn't the one behind the mask anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about several of the good ones. Let's talk about one of the worst ones.
Are you going to bring up Azrael Batman?
We already did.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to bring up, talking about goblins, Normie just had to, like, twist the knife into the Avengers, where he basically got all these villains posed as the Avengers.
Yeah.
He had the Bullseye pose as Hawkeye. He had Venom pose, this is Scorpion Venom, pose as Spider-Man.
Actually, he had two different versions of Dark Spider-Man. He had Matt Gargan, who was Venom for the longest time, and then he like kidnapped some South American spider deity and used a potion to like get rid of his extra arms and just make him like black and white suit Spidey.
Well, let me continue. There was also he had Moonstone as Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
In the classic Miss Marvel costume, I might add.
The wonderfully classic Miss Marvel costume.
No, the one that's even older than the black one.
I know. That's the one I'm referring to. I actually like that costume.
You like that one more than the black one?
I don't like it. I don't like it more. I like them both equally, but they're both really, really nice.
So there was a time there were two blonde bombshells running around in two different Miss Marvel costumes at the same time.
And it was wonderful.
Yes. There was... I'm trying to remember who else they had. They had Wolverine's gay son as Wolverine.
Was he gay, or was he like Captain Jack Harkness and he would just do anything with a heartbeat?
I think he was gay. But who else did they have on?
Well, I mean, they had Grant Morrison's Marvel Boy as Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Just trying to think. I think that's kind of the... Oh, and Norman himself was Captain America / Iron Man.
As the Iron Patriot.
Yeah, the original Iron Patriot in the 616 universe.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that was about it for the Dark Avengers. I mean,
And what I liked was that when they did the reveal, they had all the real Avengers sitting around the TV going like, oh my god, they got that guy? Really? Hawkeye was really pissed off. He's like, a murderer wearing my costume.
Yeah, because Clint was Ronin at the time.
Yes.
Which is... Well, I mean, that's in that version of the new Avengers at the time, Dark Avengers going on, I mean, you had Bucky Cap.
Yeah. But one of my favorite moments was when Spidey's like, oh, it's Venom and not even the good one.
That was good.
It's like it's actually the Scorpion. It's like, Scorpion? Yeah, he threw his butt around at people. And Miss Marvel was quite upset about the whole Moonstone thing too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, go ahead.
She looked okay to me.
Well, no, she looked great. I mean, was it Deodato Jr. Mike Deodato Jr. doing the art at the time, which is, the dude can't draw an ugly woman. He just can't. Even when it's like, you know, if it's like an old lady, she's still, you know, fairly good looking. I mean, she's not a blonde bombshell the way he was drawing Moonstone and Miss Marvel in the book. I did like the fact that at the time when Matt Gargan was Venom on the Dark Avengers, they kept having to like give him a serum or something so he wouldn't like Hulk out and become Venom.
Yeah. So that way he looks slim and Spidey sized.
Yeah. And I just remember the issue where for like the longest time, like whatever bullshit Norman sold Marvel, or I forget what his actual, like what his Cree name was, like the Marvel boy.
Marvel, yes.
Was it actual Marvel?
Yes.
Okay. So like he gave him like this spiel about how this is the greater good and all that. And then, that's a nice image. Kind of dirty, but nice. Like where he had this big reveal where he's sleeping with Moonstone, who's basically just knocking boots with him to keep him, you know, placated on the team. And when he finally realizes that all these are villains, and oh, they also had Ares, like Hercules' brother, as a member of the Dark Avengers, where Mar-Vell realized that they're all villains and he runs away like, oh my god, I'm a bad guy. And I was like, you couldn't tell that when Hawkeye took his mask off and he has this target carved into his forehead? Like, what was your first clue? But I spoke earlier about Ronin, who is this character that Bendis had come up with in the early days of the New Avengers. And there was a succession of characters that took on this identity. I mean, it's still around today. I mean, it was Echo, who was this female character. She was deaf, but she was kind of like the Taskmaster in that she could copy like physical abilities to fight with. And then that got passed on to Clint Barton after the Scarlet Witch resurrected him post House of M, which is still one of the greatest, you know, BS resurrections ever. And after Clint, it didn't have anyone in there for a while, and then like the Black Widow's psychotic ex-husband became Ronin, and currently in Mighty Avengers, Ronin is the disguise of Blade the Vampire Hunter. Which they actually kind of played with, because in the first like three or four issues of Mighty Avengers, he's this random hero that shows up with like in this like neon purple and green fake Spider-Man costume. It says Spider Hero across his chest.
Oh yes.
And then in the couple of issues that follow that, you know, there's this problem and it's leading into this greater storyline that's coming down the road. And Cage is like, look, dude, could you wear something else? And he looks at his wife, Jessica. And he's like, honey, do we still have Clint Barton's shit? And literally it comes out with Ronin in full gear wearing a leather jacket. And the caption says, you can press play on the soundtrack now. Which I thought was just kind of incredibly cool. And then the end of the last issue of Mighty Avengers to come out, it was revealed that, you know, there were some hints dropped along the way, that you might not have picked up on unless you were reading like one of the old Black Panther series, which I did, and I did pick up on that. But yeah, it's Blade is the new Ronin, and he's part of the Mighty Avengers, which is basically a walk-in clinic for people who need superheroing.
Yes.
I'm not even making that up. I don't know. Is there anybody else in Marvel you guys can think of?
Not really. I think we pretty much replacement out our people.
The only other... It's not quite a replacement hero thing, but it kind of is, but isn't, is... I think it was like issue 300 of Iron Man, where for like the umpteenth time, Ultimo the Destroyer is going to lay waste to the world. And Tony recruits a cast of like former supporting characters to basically become the first Iron Legion. So he gets like Bethany Cabe, I can't remember the guy's name. He was this character Force back in the day, Rhodey, and at least one other person. He puts them all in old Iron Man suits. And most notably, Bethany, who's a rather buxom redhead, gets shoved into the original gray can opener.
Yes.
And she even makes it's like, my breasts are chafing. And Tony's like, yeah, whatever. We got to go kick some ass. I mean, it's not quite that bad, but he basically says, yeah, whatever. We got to go, do with the hero thing. I love stuff like that where you get like, former supporting cast members show up and they have to dress like Spider-Man or Iron Man or whoever. I mean, and like I said before, Bucky Cap, who... in a really great story, I'm not going to lie, the basis for the new Captain America movie, it used to be only Bucky, Thomas and Martha Wayne, and Uncle Ben stay dead. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. Because, he got his memories back. He was kind of like this anti-hero. And then Steve Rogers was killed. No, he wasn't. His soul was separated from his body. And Bucky became Captain America.
That's usually called death.
Well, it... In the way that his soul was separated from his body, it kind of gives you some leeway.
That was a joke.
I know. And Bucky became Cap for a while, and now he's just basically a normal guy with a cyborg arm, so he didn't have the whole, twice as fast as any normal guy sort of juice. He was more Batman in all respects, in that, he's just a normal guy doing his thing. So, I can't think of anything else. How about you?
I think we're pretty much replacemented out, but so let's wrap this up.
We mentioned the Azrael Batman, but we didn't really say anything about him. I think the only thing that's worth saying is that he was a replacement hero that was designed to be hated. Yes. That was like the whole point, is that he was put into the series to replace Bruce Wayne, and then the fans just hated him, and it was just DC building it up so that Batman can come back and kick his ass.
It was almost Batman's clone saga because it took like 2 or 3 years to get him out of the goddamn suit.
Yeah, they drew it out for a while. I remember like, what was it, around like 95 or so that happened?
93, I think.
Yeah, I remember just seeing the comics. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
And this such isn't an Batman? Example. Yeah, it's such an example of 90s. Like, I mean, he's got like the just straight gray leggings, absolutely no armor. He's got like these three like demon claw. Point like daggers coming off of each leg. He's got the Rob Liefeldian utility belt strapped around his one calf, and then his entire upper body is all armor. I mean, he's got like those Wolverine gauntlets and the giant chest armor and the
it was an example of the 90s extreme makeover in comics, and it was something I was already getting tired of seeing. Yeah. And I'm glad that DC made a comment on that by having that show up and then having the classic come back.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that costume, like, as he went crazier and crazier in the comics, he kept adding
more shit to it.
Well, yeah, and then it became,
Until he had no two eye holes, he had, like, a headlight.
Basically. And I mean, the costume, like, the armor just seemed to get bulkier and bulkier, and then finally he's got, like, the red Cyclops visor sort of thing going on. And how did Batman defeat him? Well, he crawled into this nook and cranny to like this back door to the Batcave that he knew about. And Azrael crawls after him. And as the further he goes, the tighter it gets, and he gets wedged in by his armor. So he's got to take everything off except the helmet. And then Bruce Wayne opens the trap door and sunlight comes in. And it's like every action movie you've ever seen where the bad guys use night goggles. See, he basically blinds him, punches him once, and he's like, I was wrong. You're the true Batman. And the only way they could have made that a little bit better is if Batman had said damn straight.
Or had a bunch of bats flying around him, like, ominously, like, well, I think that happened. But yeah. Let's wrap this up. Never to be replaced is your host, Ben.
And I'll check out for a while, but I'll always come back. JT from Saskatoon.
And I'm TV's Mr. Neil.
And we're saying goodnight.
Co-host.
Yes.
So long.